time. And so I divided it into two sermons. And last week, I kind of looked at the different positions that people have taken, again, through church history and even today, of what they believe eternal security is and what it really means. And I know that some of the views that I looked at are, you know, alike, but just a little different, just so we understand them. Hopefully I got my position out accurately, and maybe you agree with it. I didn't have anybody disagree with me on my position on eternal security. And so again, what a wonderful doctrine to teach, though. And again, that God takes care of us, again, and we are secure eternally. Again, you can see our verse that we have up there, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me." And again, I kind of preached on that because I really believe, and I go with this, that it, when you get saved, things change, okay? Things change. The choir sang, "New life in Christ," okay? It's different. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, all things become new, and they follow me. And so I do believe that with salvation comes a change of life. Sometimes it doesn't come as fast in our lives as we'd like it to come. Maybe we should say it doesn't come as fast in other people's lives as we wish it would come, right? But it's us, too. It is, okay? Again, the sanctification process that God is doing in us. But again, they follow. And notice, I give unto them the eternal life, and they shall never perish. Again, what a great promise we have here. I want to look more, and I don't know how to call it. This is more, again, going through Bible verses and looking more at the foundation of eternal security. If somebody would say, "Well, why do you believe, you know, that we're saved forever?" Maybe you can give a quick little answer, but I put together a more exhaustive answer of things that we can look at in the Bible today and say, this is why I believe we cannot lose our salvation. More than just one point. I think I got 8 points of why we can't lose it. Let's have a word of prayer as we get into this. Father, I pray as we look at a great doctrine, and Lord, what a comforting doctrine to know that once we're saved for eternity. And Lord, you'll never cast us out. Lord, thank you so much for that. Lord, help us to understand it. Lord, that it will change our lives and put worry aside. And Lord, we know the devil's going to come to us and try to get us on this area about, oh, if you did that, you can't be saved. And Lord, we know what the devil does. But Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand this to the point where we can tell him that he needs to go away because he's wrong and our salvation is secure no matter what we do. But Lord, we pray that as our salvation is something that's important, it's changing our lives. Your Holy Spirit and Word of God is working in our lives. And Lord, we just wouldn't say that, oh, I did that when I was a kid and it hadn't made any difference. But Lord, it does make a difference when we get saved. Help us understand that today also. Watch us over us, Lord, as we open up the Word of God and read different verses that we'd understand them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I just kind of go here to a question, and I come back to this, and kind of the question is, who is a believer? Again, we're just looking, who is a believer? All right. Have you ever thought about what makes somebody a believer? And you might say, well, Pastor, that's such an easy question. You know, we've got that. But I've kind of gone ahead and answered it, okay, and put an answer. A believer is one who has received Jesus Christ into his heart as Savior by faith. There's more sentences I'll put up there. But I'm trying to use words that we know, but they're good words. I use the word received, okay? A believer is one who has received. I wanted to stay away from, and I know you could use it, and there's not a problem. A believer is one who believes on Jesus Christ. But I wanted to stay away from the word believe just today, though that's what it is. But it's not just a belief, it's a receiving. You receive something. Again, it's sort of like Christmas time. If somebody gives you a gift, okay, or there's a gift for you, you can believe in the gift. And I believe there's a gift in the box, but you know, it's the receiving the gift that makes the difference, okay? You receive it. And notice, so I've got there the words that salvation is something that is received. It's a gift. We have to receive it. We cannot work for it. Notice there's a name put up there that without this person's name, there is no salvation, okay? Again, you get Acts 4:12, and neither is there salvation under, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And if it's not Jesus, if it's not Jesus Christ, then there is no salvation. You can believe in a lot of different people, and the people in the world believe in a lot of different others people, but it's Jesus, and it's Jesus alone. I use the word up there, Savior. I hope you see the word Savior, All right? I hope you see it. Folks, here's what I'm coming at. If you didn't get saved from something, you're not saved. Right? I mean, I've talked to different people who, you know, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus and all that, and you hear their testimony, and when it was all over, you just realized, why did you do what you did? Well, I wanted a better life. I wanted a better life. I still remember, it just rocked me off my feet almost. I can remember my assistant pastor in Massachusetts, Pastor Mark, as we were witnessing somebody, and he just said to the person when they were done with their testimony, he goes, well, what part did sin play in you getting saved? And the person's like, nah, sin didn't have anything to do with it. I just wanted a better life. Wow. Now, I tell people, he's a savior. And if you're going to get a Savior or receive a Savior, there's something you have to be saved from. Is everybody with me on this? And it's your sin. Again, and it's the destiny that your sin is taking you to, which is a godless eternity in hell. He is our Savior. And so, again, he's just not someone who makes our life better. But I do tell people, bless the Lord all my soul and all his wind, we bless the whole name, and forget not all his benefits. So if somebody said, well, but when you got saved, did life get better? I think it did. I think where I was headed wasn't maybe going to be very good. So, yeah, I would say that getting saved makes my life better, okay? But that's not what drove me to my knees to accept Jesus as my Savior. I realized I was a sinner and I needed someone to save me, okay? I mean, it's almost like, you know, I've never been out in the ocean swept away in a riptide and having trouble. It's never happened to me. But I imagine almost being out there in a riptide, okay, and realizing I'm in drastic trouble right now, you know, and what I need is just a better life right now. I just need a better life, okay? Folks, what I need at that point in time is what? Somebody to save me. I just don't need a little bit better life. I need somebody to save me. You know, and so, that situation has never happened to me, but I'd want a Savior. And so he saved me from my sin. I put down there faith. You can see that in the definition. These are good words, big words. And but it's by faith. You don't buy it. You don't pay for it. You don't earn it. And that's the number one way people think you can get to heaven, by earning it. That's not right. You don't get to heaven by earning it. It is purely by faith. So again, as we talk about salvation, and the reason why I've done it, just lay it out there for you. It's not really easy believism, okay? Just say this prayer and you're on your way to heaven. Wow, it's not that. God has driven me to a place where I realize I am hopelessly lost in my sins and there's nothing I can do about it. I tried. It's not working and it never will work. And I need someone to save me. And I realized that person was Jesus. And by faith, not by works, not by payment, not by anything else. Again, I trusted what he did. Again, I come back to it and I always ask people, and I don't think it's going to happen because we've gotten through it already. But if you were to step up to heaven and Jesus were to say, why should I let you in? Okay? Folks, I know that I have a very simple answer for him. And if he will not accept that simple answer, I got nothing else to fall back on. I mean, if I stand up and he says, why should I let you in heaven? My answer would just be simply, I realized I was a sinner and you said you died for all of my sins, and if I trusted you, that you would forgive my sins and come into my heart and save me. That's all I got. You know, you won't hear me say when I get to heaven's gates, well, I was a pastor. Doesn't matter getting into heaven. Doesn't matter. Okay? I trusted Jesus. You know what? I'm not even going to try that. Oh, I was a pretty good person when I was on earth. How many of you who know me think that I should try that one? You know? Well, I was a pretty good person when I was on earth. Folks, I'm not good, okay? And I always tell people, does it amaze anybody here what the imaginations of your heart can come up with? Does it ever amaze you what the imaginations of your heart can come up with? You know what? Again, our heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Okay? And so again, we need a Savior. Who else is a believer? Again, other words, a believer is trusting Jesus Christ totally for salvation. I just gave you that. That's it. I got nothing else to fall back on. Okay? It's Jesus, and I'm trusting Him for salvation. Again, you see the word salvation again. You see the word Savior again. I don't have the word sin in here, but I'm explaining it to you. I need saved from my sin. And I'm trusting Jesus totally for my sin. I've got nothing else, okay? I've got nothing else to fall back on. Again, I like these words. This person's born again, okay? John 3:3, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. I've told people, because I've talked to people and listened to them about being born again, and they'd be saying, well, born again, that's not a term I'm familiar with. My church doesn't use that term, born again. And then I read this verse to them. The Bible says, verily, verily, except a man be born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. We are dealing with a topic now, born again, you don't even know what I'm talking about. And the Bible says you have to be that before you can get into heaven. What do we need to do here right now? Well, usually the person says, what? Well, I guess I need to get born again. Absolutely. But again, it's born again. It's something that changes your life. Okay? And I do believe that. Okay? It changes your life. Again, we could read other verses. This person has been made a partaker of the divine nature. Okay? Again, there's things that change. I know Carol was saying this morning that her mom used to say, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and He does a work in your life. And if that work never gets done or never gets started or never goes anywhere, it's because He's not in your life and you're not saved. Okay? Again, we become a partaker of the divine nature. And again, God's doing a wonderful work in our lives. And again, He's going to move us along. Okay? He's going to move us along. Again, the other things that I would say, what about those who appear to be saved but now have no interest in spiritual things? Okay? And I forget who it was, but I think it was Scott Long that I was talking to many years ago. And I think he even said it here in this church, and it was a long time ago. But this is when Scott was working at the Regeneration Reservation. He worked there, right? So I got the right guy. And when I was talking to him, and I think he mentioned it here, he said, one of the biggest problems we have is when we go talk to people about the Lord, they're all saved. Okay, now, should I put quotation marks on there? They're all saved. I mean, you know, you're in jail with somebody who is absolutely living a pathetic life, and maybe they just murdered somebody. Again, and he's talking out on the Indian reservation, these people are just living horrible lives, and you go visit them in the jail, and just a foul person. And then when you talk to them, what do they say? Oh, I did that. I did that. And he says some of the biggest hindrances we have for people getting saved is they're all saved. They've all done something or whatever, you know, but it's never produced anything in their life. There's not even a hint that they've ever done something like this. What do we do about that person? What do you say about that person? Okay, that's a tough question. Okay, oh yeah, when I was 4 years old, I went to church and VBS, and I remember they said put your hand up, and I put my hand up, and I'm good, Pastor. And yet, you know, 50, 60 years later, you looked at their life, and not even one inkling. Okay, now I know probably some of you sitting there, no, you're not, Pastor, you're really being judgmental. But I do tell people, by their fruits, you'll know them. Okay? So I'm not being judgmental. I'm just being, what somebody tell me, a fruit inspector? I don't see any. I don't even see an inkling of it, okay? I don't even see an inkling of it. What about those people? Again, as we go here, okay? Can I just put the big one up there first? I don't think they've truly been saved or whatever. Again, they used to attend church. They may have been baptized. They may have made a public profession of faith. They may have looked Christian, but now they're out in the world. And if you'd ask them anything, most of them, yeah, I used to believe that. I don't believe that anymore. And, you know, that was crazy. That was just I don't really know Jesus or whatever. But some people might say, well, they really are saved. Again, Jesus spoke of this type, you know. Many shall say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not? And I tell people, if you look at it, they're all past tense. They're all past tense. You know, we prophesied in your name. We ministered and did things. But they're all past tense. And I do tell people, Christianity is not a past tense faith. Are you with me on that? Okay? And if you look at a lot of the words that we just say in a lot of very familiar verses, okay, to get them actually translated really, really perfectly, you got to put them in more of a present tense, okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever is believing, okay? I know we just say believeth in him, but it's present tense, continue on, is believing in him, okay? And there's even perfect tenses that show up in the original language, which is something that took place in the past that has future and present day ramifications from it. Whosoever did believe in him is still believing in him and will continue to believe in him. Are you following me through? That's the verbs are bigger, okay? And so when these people say, well, we cast, past tense. We used to. Christianity is a present tense faith, okay? Present tense faith. Again, if they left the faith, stayed away, then they were never saved. Please go with me to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. We need to find that, 1 John chapter 2, and see exactly what John said about people that just walked away from the faith and had nothing to do with it. Again, 1 John 2:19. Maybe you've heard this verse. And again, look how it's written. They went out from us. Okay? They went out from us. They're deniers of the faith. But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest. They were not all of us. He got the point across, didn't he? They walked away from the faith. They stayed away. They'd never come back. Now, I told you last week, again, two-part series, just because you're saved doesn't mean you walk every day the way you're supposed to walk as a Christian. We do backslide. All of us. Now, am I saying that you're not saved? No, I'm not saying that. But if you are saved, the Holy Spirit's there. And I keep using the word just my own understanding. He's got his hook in you, folks. And you may drag the line a little bit and go where you're not supposed to go, but he's got it in you, and he's reeling you back in. Okay, anybody ever fish for a... Anybody ever here hook a fish that was bigger than your reel could handle or the drag? Has anybody ever set drag? And you catch a big... Yeah, we're all poor fishermen. We never caught a big fish. But again, I fished one time, and I had the drag set. And sure enough, I was winding, but as I was winding, the line was still going out. Has anybody ever caught a fish and done that? You're winding, and the line's... have you guys done that? You're winding it, but the line's going out. Okay? What that means is I got him hooked really good. And he's running away from me, but I got him. And after a while, all of a sudden, I keep winding, it's coming in. Okay? And I'm bringing him in the boat. You know, I tell people as Christians, we really get saved. You really put your faith in Jesus Christ. You trust in him. You're born again. But sometimes we're trying to run the other way from God. But you know what he's got? He's got his hook in. And in a little bit, he's bringing us in. He'll bring us back. Again, you look at the prodigal son. You look at different people. Again, God's going to bring them back. So again, these people stayed away from the faith. And Paul says the reason is because they walked away. So, again, they didn't lose their salvation. They simply never had it to begin with. Okay? That's how I'm going to put it. Because if you really are saved, again, new life in Christ is great. And we have our down times. We have our bad times. But, again, we're still going to come back. Jesus Christ has his hooks in us, and he's going to take care of us. We're saved eternally. Again, why are we eternally saved? This is the points I want to give you. Somebody said, why do you believe in eternal security? Why do you believe that once saved, always saved? You know, I just kind of put some things down here that I thought were just really good that I would answer somebody. Again, they all seem to find their way to a P, and so that works out real good. But again, the first one I would give you is God's promise. Okay? I mean, what's the verse we're quoting? John 10:28. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And what? I give them eternal life. Okay? I give them eternal life. I give it to them. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting. I mean, this is God's promise to us. All right? Now, I come back, and I really maybe should just move on, but I'm not going to. How many promises has God broke? I mean, that's what we have to look at. How many promises has God broke? He's never broke a promise. And I know this going into the future. He's not going to break any. They're good forever. Go with me, if you will, to Romans 4:21, please. Again, this is Paul talking, Romans 4:21. Again, 4:21. I know where we are in Romans 4. We're talking about Abraham, and God promised him a son of promise. And basically, this verse is about Abraham. And he says Abraham was fully persuaded that what he had promised, that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Again, I don't want to dwell on this long, but here's Abraham and Sarah, two people that should not be having children. Okay? Not because of their character, but because of physicalness. Two people that should not be having children. And you know what? God said, I'm having a son. I'm fully persuaded. And you know what? Somebody tell me, did they have that son? Absolutely. And you know what? We'd say in the day's tense, that was impossible. But they had that promise. And it came true. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Again, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Again, by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. Now, I know when people read that, they go, what are the two immutable things? First of all, I tell people it's God and God's Word. God's character, if you want to put it that way, and God's Word. Those are two things, folks, that just are immutable. God and His Word. And God has backed up eternal security, I believe, with His character and with His Word, His promise. And we know it doesn't change. Okay? It doesn't change. So somebody said, well, how do you know you're saved? Well, God gave it to me, promised it to me. And as He promised it to me, His promises come true every time. So I have eternal security. That's the biggest one for me. God promised it. It's true. Let's go on to the next one here. God's perseverance. Okay? God's perseverance. The first thing I put up here, when it comes to perseverance of the saints, I want you to understand that that perseverance, it's His perseverance, not mine. It has nothing to do with me. Okay? So if somebody says, well, do you believe in perseverance of the saints? Whose perseverance are you talking about? Well, they say, well, Pastor, I'm talking about your perseverance. There's no perseverance here, folks. There's no perseverance here. Okay? Because if it was up to me to keep my salvation, I'd blow it. Anybody else do it? I said to somebody a long time ago, I'll keep preaching, if salvation was a football and you handed it to me, I'd fumble it. Okay? I'd have fumbled it a long time ago. But you know what? It's not me holding on to the football. It's not me trying to keep my salvation. Okay? And in those verses in John 10, do you notice that my hands aren't mentioned in there? Whose hands are mentioned? God's hands. So we want to make sure we understand it's God's perseverance, because if somebody says, well, I believe in perseverance of saints, that you get saved and then you got to work to keep it. I don't believe that. That's my perseverance. If anybody's doing any work to keep my salvation, who's doing it? God is. And I believe that His perseverance is good. It's reliable. Okay? So that, again, so that we understand it. So I do believe in perseverance of the saints. Again, I have some verses here. Let's get them up here. Philippians 1:6. Do you know this verse? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you don't know where that verse is, go to Philippians 1:6. Mark it in your Bibles. But again, Paul says, I'm confident. He that began the work will finish the work. Okay? Now, you say, well, what is he talking about? Now, folks, here's how it works. Here's the work, okay? And here's the piece of work. It's little Ricky Gilbaugh at 9 years old. What a piece of work, okay? What a sinner. What a horrible person. And God started, on the day that I received Him as my Savior, He started a work to save me. And I mean, bring me into conformity to the image of Jesus Christ. To put it this way, to make me perfect. Now, you might look at me and go, he's still got a long way to go. I'll agree with you. But he that started the work is going to what? Finish the work. It's going to be awful hard for you to walk in heaven and walk up to me and go, hey, Pastor Gilbaugh, you're perfect. Is that not going to be impossible to say? Wow, Pastor Gilbaugh, you're perfect. But I'm going to have to look at you and go, what? Well, you're looking pretty perfect yourself. Because He is going to what? Perfect us. He started the work. He's going to finish the work. That's his perseverance. Ecclesiastes 3:14, again, as Solomon says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, not anything taken away from it. God doeth it that men should fear before him. And folks, I'm going to be perfect when he perfects me. I'm going to be perfect forever. But it's his perseverance. He's doing the work. And by the way, without his patience and perseverance, he should have given up on us a long time ago. But he's not. It's his perseverance. He's going to stick with it all the way to the end, and he will do the work that he's called us to do. Let me give you the third thing here. Big words, though. God's predestination. You're all looking at me saying, oh, Pastor, you went Calvinistic on us. Oh, we knew you were going that way. I want you to understand, we've got to look at some verses is what we have to do. First of all, go to Romans 8:29. We're going to look at some verses. I think if I put one more up there, oops. Can you back that off? I don't want that up there if you can back that off. We'll just stay with these. Go to Romans 8:29, okay? And just to see where we're going and what we have here, when I'm talking about predestination, so you know. And some of you might say, well, Pastor, you don't believe in predestination. Whatever. Here we go, Romans 8:29. Well, you know what, don't you know 28? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Then 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Again, I'm not preaching. I do not believe, okay? And again, these are hard discussions, and I'm not even going to get into it, okay? But I do not believe that God says, you're going to heaven and you're going to hell and you have no choice in the matter. Not going there. Okay? But when I read these verses, notice what the predestination is. The predestination that I read in these verses is what God is going to do to and for those who believe in him. That's the predestination that I look at. What God is going to do to and for those. God says, those who put their trust in me, I'm going to conform them to the image of my son. Again, I look at it this way. God in heaven does not do this. Oh, you know what? The other day, somebody put their trust in me. What am I going to do with them? Anybody got some ideas up here of what we should do with this person? You know, Rick Gilbaugh just received me as his Savior. I don't know what to do with this guy. I have no idea what to do. Anybody got some good ideas? Watch this. From way back in eternity past, God predetermined that those who put their faith and trust in me, I'm going to conform them to the image of my son. So he's not looking for like, oh, what are we going to do with this guy? What are we going to do with this guy? He's already predetermined. Again, do I want to read the verse again? For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. God has this wonderful plan that everybody that puts their faith and trust in him will get conformed to the image of his son. It's predetermined. It's going to happen. Okay? It's just not, okay, well, what are we going to do? Go with me over to Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 1. Again, as you look at the same things as I'm determining this, and again, according, Ephesians 1:4, as he hath chosen us in him, this is before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children of the sons of God by Jesus Christ to him according to the good pleasure of his will. Again, you can see that as we read the word predestinated or predetermined or whatever, what's the predetermining? I don't believe it's the salvation part, though. We could argue that later some other day. Okay, but again, it's been predetermined. If you receive Jesus Christ, you're going to become a son of God. You're going to be adopted into the family of God. Okay? It's not like, oh, what am I going to do here? He already knows what he's going to do with you when you get saved. You're going to become his children, put into the family. And can I tell you something, folks? Once you've been put into the family, you're in. There's no getting out. Okay? There's no getting out. All right? I don't know. I've heard people say, and I've seen it on TV or seen different things, well, we disowned our son. Sorry, doesn't work that way. Still your son. Okay? Still your son. You can't get rid of that. That's an eternal relationship. Can't get rid of it. Okay? I've been predestinated to be the what? Son of God. So when I got saved, God said, so glad you got saved. Boy, I got big things planned for you. And I've had them planned for a long time. Let's get to work. Okay? And I'm going to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ and adopted into the family of God. Okay? For whoso believeth in him, again, we go back to that. To them gave he power to become the what? Sons of God. Sons of God. So again, I used the predestination that God had this plan. This plan is really an old plan. Long, long time ago. Okay? From eternity past. You know what? These children that get saved are going to become my children. And I will take care of them absolutely forever. I got to keep moving on. Here's one that you never expected. We're saved for eternity because of our perfection. Okay? Our perfection. Kind of a different one to think about or whatever, but when Jesus Christ looks at us, what is written on our accounts? What are all the bad things written on our accounts right now up in heaven? I mean, they pull out the file that has your name on it. They pull the book off the shelf that has your name on it, and they open it up to find all the sins you've ever committed, and we find out that when we open up the file, when we open up the book, what's on the pages? There's nothing there. Okay? Our perfection. Now, I understand, and I'm not preaching that this perfection happens while we're down here. Okay? Has anybody ever met somebody who believed in second step of grace and that you can hit perfection on this earth and last from there until your death and never sin again? Has anybody ever met somebody like that? Who was sharing there was an evangelist one time that met somebody who did that or whatever. And I guess the evangelist needled him long enough that the man swore. And he said, well, you didn't reach it yet, buddy. You didn't reach it yet. And I thought, you know, I'm not talking about the second step of grace where we get perfection on this earth. And, you know, from the here to the day we die, we never sin. I could never convince anybody that it happened in my life yet. Are you able to do that? Okay. But again, I am mentioning that as we look at these verses, okay, as we look at these verses, again, Hebrews 10:14, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. We are perfected what? Forever. Okay? So when God looks at me, I'm perfected. And I know somebody says, well, you know what? You can lose your salvation by sinning. And if you just keep sinning, God will take it from you. Folks, my sins aren't hitting the book. Okay? Yeah, I'm still sinning. I still sin. But they're not being recorded. And when they still open up that file, open up that book, what's happening? I'm perfect. Okay? I'm perfect. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. It starts off with a whole list of people that aren't allowed to go to heaven. Are you familiar with this? I mean, if you want to go there, you can. But it starts with a whole long list of people that can't get into heaven. Okay? It's a long list. You know, people that are thieves and covetous and fornicators, idolaters, effeminate. I mean, it just goes on, okay? And drunkards and revilers and extortioners. You're not inherit the kingdom of God. And then Paul says something in the verse after that. He says, you know what? Verse 11, and such were some of you. All those bad things I just said, that's you guys. But instead of getting scared, he says this, but you've been washed. But you've been sanctified. But you've been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What's he saying? You're perfect. You're perfect. All those sins are gone. Under the blood, washed as white as snow. They're all gone. That's how they're done there. Again, I've already read verses in Romans chapter 4, but again, it's not about working. But to him that believeth, again, he is counted as righteous. In Romans chapter 4, we're counted as righteous. That's wonderful, okay? Wonderful. And I love Romans 8:1. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. So again, it comes down to basically our perfection, okay? We're perfect. My salvation is secure because I'm perfect, is how it works. Again, I like this phrase. We were not saved in the first place by good works. Therefore, you cannot lose it by bad works. Does that make sense to everybody? Now, if you were saved by good works in the first place, I guess you could lose it by bad works. But we weren't. We were saved by good works. We're not going to lose it by bad ones. So, again, I've already made it. I've already been justified. What, justified. Do you have a definition for it? I was taught long ago, just as if I never sinned. Anybody ever got that? Just if I. And then the cation, I don't know what to do with that. okay, just if I never sinned. I'm perfect. And so, again, I'm saved for eternity. I can't be kicked out of heaven because there is nothing on my account that should kick me out. Well, it says there that covetous people can't go to heaven. Yeah, they can't. I'm not one of them. It's not been recorded on my account. It's off. Washed, sanctified, justified. I spent enough time with it. I think we understand that. Number five, okay? What about our position? Okay? What about our position? Our position today is we are what? In Christ. And because we are in Christ, again, our eternity is secure in Him. Therefore, again, do I have 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a what? New creature. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Again, I'm in Christ. I'm secure. And I don't want to say as long as I'm in Him, because it almost sounds like I'm making the possibility that what could happen? I could get out. Does that sound right to you? I'm not coming out. I'm in His hands, and what? No way to get out, okay? And so our position in Christ is absolutely secure. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 12:13, please. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Again, other verses. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. And whether we Jews or Gentiles, whether we're bond or free, we've been all made to drink into one Spirit. I mean, I'm in Christ. I'm in the one Spirit. I've been baptized in the one body. Again, my position is that I can be saved absolutely forever. Okay? And by the way, position sometimes does carry benefits, does it not? Does anybody know that position carries benefits? It does. You know, if you have certain positions or whatever, you might have certain things. My position is in Christ. Boy, there's a lot of benefits that go with that. Being in heaven's one and being able to be with Him absolutely forever. What a wonderful thing. Again, the next thing that I'll give you then, as I move on. Again, the only way that a believer can lose his relationship with the Father is for the Son to do so first. You ever think about that? I'm in Christ. So in order for me to lose my relationship with the Father, who has to lose his relationship with the Father first? Christ does. Now, let me ask you this. How secure is Christ's relationship with His Father? Wow. Now watch this. Now, as I was thinking about this, folks, it's no more secure than mine is. Because my relationship is based in His relationship. And I'm in Christ. So if somebody would say, well, who's more secure in their relationship with the Father, Christ or you? We'd want to naturally answer what? Well, Christ. But it's the same. Because I'm in Christ. As long as I'm in Christ, boy, I'm really secure. And I'm not getting out. Okay? I can't get out. He's not throwing me out. I'm in. It's a really good place to be. Okay? So again, we are as secure as the Son is because we are in there. Again, what about our possession? Again, this is an easy one. Again, I had you think about it last week or whatever. But what do we have? My sheep hear my voice. Somebody continue. What's it say? I know them. And I give unto them what? Eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. Can you please think of the words eternal life? All right? Now I don't know about you. I don't know how many things down in this world are guaranteed for eternity. Okay? I think there have been some companies in the past that have kind of worked on eternal guarantees that if you buy this product, as long as you own it, you know, we'll take care of it, we'll service it, we'll give it to you. If it breaks, you get a new one or whatever. And, you know, there's like this. And then they might even say, and if your children, you give it to them by inheritance, you know, we'll take care of this possession for your children as long as they have it. And it's an eternal guarantee. And then all of a sudden something happened to the product and you find out the company went out of business. And you're like, well, I got this eternal guarantee. And they're like, yeah, doing you a lot of good right now, isn't it? Okay. Well, what would we say? Then why did you call it eternal guarantee if it didn't last forever? You misnamed it. So now you're going to do a lawsuit. I don't know what you do at this point in time. You look at the thing that's broken, throw it away, and go on with life. Okay? That's the way you do it. But it's eternal life. And I know that when somebody said to me, why do you believe in eternal security? I would probably look at them and say, hey, the short answer, two words. Why do I believe in eternal security? Because I have eternal life. That's why. Okay? If it was wrong. Again, my brother-in-law saw the bulletin. Bob was there, and he started singing. You heard it from Jesse Boyd, though. Is that right? Because I've told these people, I've sung some of Jesse Boyd's songs in this church, okay? But it's my professor that I told you, he used to walk into the classroom and be singing songs, and when you heard him sing them, you'd go, that's not right. And he was one of the ones, you know, like, you know, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's in pencil. And you're like, that's not it. You know? God did not write my name in pencil. Because what can happen to pencil? You get erased. Okay? So I don't know, what are we supposed to say? It's written in what? And I know somebody, well, it's an indelible ink. You know, I think mine's written in blood. I think mine's written in blood. It is absolutely eternal life. Again, do you know, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I'm not headed for condemnation. And again, as I told you earlier, Christianity is a present tense faith. You know, if somebody says, well, I'm looking forward to having eternal life. I got it right now, folks. I got it right now. And I could take you to John chapter 11. He that believeth on me, okay, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I have eternal life right now. Okay? It's mine. I mean, it's deeded to me. It's ready to go. And we're doing that or whatever. Okay, I had a conversation around the breakfast table, and it went to Grange Fair, because we were talking about tents at Grange Fair, because Bob said, you know, we said next year we got to school earlier, and Bob was saying, Grange Fair is going to be a week earlier. Oh, well, how's that work with the tents? You know, do you still get your tent? Oh, yeah, you still get your tent. What happens to those tents? Well, they get deeded, inherited, down the line or whatever. They're like eternal, okay? They're like eternal, okay? And that's like my deed on eternal life. I got it now. It's eternal, folks. You can't take it away. Okay? It's right now. And it's like those tents, you know, those tents, they get into somebody's family. They're just, that's it, man. They're in the family forever, aren't they? You know, you can't lose them. Well, you can. See, there's no eternal security over it. Because there are certain things you can do at the fair and you lose your tent. Am I right about that? Oh, see, salvation is better than a Grange Fair tent. Don't tell Raylene I said that. Oh, man, she'll take that. But we got it right now. I've got eternal life. It's right now. You know, it got started and it's going to go absolutely forever. I hope you believe that. I think it was 7. I think I maybe said we had 8 before. It's 7 is what I have. I love this. John read some verses. I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, please. Again, John read some verses. And again, reading there in 1 Peter chapter 1. Again, just look what we have here. Blessed be the God. And again, here is a disciple, somebody who was very close to Jesus, just getting excited about his salvation. And he's just saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I mean, Jesus Christ is alive, so therefore we have eternal life. Death won't get us. Notice the inheritance. Our inheritance. It is incorruptible, undefiled, and it fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. I mean, does that sound like really good? Anybody here have something that fades over time? About everything? Okay? About everything? But our eternity, and we'll go with the hymn writer of Amazing Grace, 10,000 years into eternity. Right? It hasn't faded a bit. It's reserved in heaven for you. And this great salvation, the point that we're making, notice, we are kept by the power of God. But kept by the power of God. What's the phrase that we use when we're referring to God, when we're talking about his attributes and characteristics? He's what? Omnipotent. Omnipotent. What a big word, which means absolutely all power. No end to his power. And I know, I remember when I was a kid, you know, somebody asked that question, can God make a rock so big that he can't pick it up? You know what the answer is when we get to heaven? He's going to look and say, what foolish people you were. Yes, I can. But yes, I can. I mean, God is just, his power is going to be unbelievable. You know, we are kept by the power of God. So if somebody'd say to me, well, how do you know it's secure? God's power. And I can't even start to describe how powerful that is. Words you just always look forward to. You don't think it's ever coming. There's the word conclusion or whatever. Here's the first one. Are you a believer? Okay, now I am using the word believer here, but I used, have you received Jesus Christ by faith as your Savior? Are you born again? Have you received that inheritance which is not going to fade, reserved in heaven for you? Have you done it? If you haven't done it, now's the time to do it. Again, we're talking about mean it from your heart. Okay? Mean it from your heart. This is not head knowledge. This is not a game. This is just not words that you say. This is something that you mean from the heart. Are you a believer? If so, get excited about this salvation that's eternally secure. Get excited about it. It's not going anywhere. Okay? Nobody can take it from you. I don't know. I'm not a pessimistic person. I'm an optimistic person. I am. Okay? But there are certain things that I look at in life and they scare me. Anybody else look at life and you get, yeah, there's some things that scare me. I mean, you know what? But there's one thought that I can have and it's not scary at all. My salvation. It doesn't matter what happens from this day forward. It is taken care of. And I'm just like, good. Okay? All the other things, you know, whatever could happen to them. Houses burn. Cars wreck. Cars, not my salvation. So when I wake up every morning, I am so happy that Jesus Christ has given me eternal security. Again, I don't have to worry about it. I put down here, stop allowing the devil to kick you around. Just tell him, I'm sorry, but I'm going to heaven and there's nothing that can be done about that. I'm headed there. I'm going to heaven and I can't wait. There's nothing you... And sometimes the devil just kicks us around. When does he do it? Somebody tell me when he starts kicking us. When you had a bad day. I'm just going to use the words you had a bad day. Okay? And bad day doesn't mean that you didn't feel well. You had a bad day. You used words you shouldn't have used. You did things you shouldn't have done. Are you with me? You had a bad day. And at the end of the day, what's the devil do? He comes sneaking in and says what? You're not saved. You're not saved. And you just look at him and say, get out of here. Yes, I am. And yeah, I did mess up. And I'll take care of that. But I'm saved. Okay? I'm absolutely saved. Again, you're a child of God. You're going to heaven. You have a right to feel good about what the Lord has done for you. Okay? Get excited someday. Okay? Has anybody ever had a little kick in your life where you're just like, yeah, I'm going to heaven. Okay? Am I the only one that ever does that? I mean, I've done things where I'm just like, oh, I'm going to heaven. Okay? You don't want to get too happy, then people think I'm what? Yeah, a little nuts or whatever. But I've done that. Man, I'm going to heaven. That sounded pretty good. So, again, you have a right to feel good about it. But, again, does everyone understand this? But it's not about me. I'm not going to heaven because it's me. It's His perseverance. It's His promises. It's His power. It's His predestination. It's all Him. And that's pretty good. Okay? I'm going to heaven. I just have to laugh about it. I just kind of laughed last night. Something funny happened in the family. I don't know if I want to point it out to somebody, but it just happened. But has anybody here lost a cell phone and you don't know how to find it? You know, you just can't find it. Where's my cell phone? And you ring it, you don't hear, and you can't find all that. Well, you know, and I would just say this. One member of our family, he's smarter than the rest of us. So he put an app on his cell phone that when he loses it, that he can go to somebody else's phone and find his phone. It'll locate his phone. Okay? I mean, he's smart and the rest of it. So the rest of us are, where's my phone? Don't know where to put my phone. You know, well, if you're like me, you know, you just put it on there and go find your phone. You know where it is. Okay? He lost his phone. So he pinged his phone. His phone is at the end of Landfill Lane. Does everybody understand what happened to his phone? Somewhere it made its way into a trash can. Got into a trash truck, and the trash truck dumped his load where? In the landfill. Now, I was trying to ask, how specific is this thing? Because if you could do it within a foot, I'd go dig. Okay? And I just kind of laughed, like, okay, the smart one who has the app, oh, he didn't lose his phone. He knows where it is. A lot of good it's doing you. Does anyone follow me through? We just thought that's funny, you know? Okay? If you put an app on your salvation to find out where it is, can I tell you, folks? It is in heaven, reserved for you. Yes. And I'm never going to lose it. Never going to lose it. I'll tell you what. The thought, the observations, the meditations of 2015 is getting to know your God better. Boy, we serve a great God. Because he's keeping this guy saved. And let me tell you, that's a lot. How about the rest of you? That's great. And I can get excited about that every day. Father, thank you that as we get to know you, it doesn't scare us. It thrills our souls. Lord, to know that you've saved us and you've saved us for eternity. Lord, I pray if there's someone here that's never received Christ. I mean received Christ. Lord, that they would do it now. Because to do so is life eternal. Work in hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.